I talk about the secret to his power. When you think about Jesus, the last few weeks we've been talking about this very thing. I want to kind of set this up when we think about prayer, that his communication with his heavenly Father was so intense and so real, and it's so all throughout his life, that when we see that his power was revealed in his communication with his Father, like when you stop and understand that as a believer, if you're watching online or you're in the room and you understand that as a Christ follower, you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, believing in the power of prayer is huge. Believing that when you talk to the heavenly Father, when you communicate with God, he hears you. And he understands what's going on, and he understands the intensity of what you want. And man, how can we go through life and not have this communication? When we open up scripture and we look over and over, Jesus was communicating constantly with his heavenly Father when he had a problem, when something was going right, when something was not going right, when he needed to make a big decision, when he woke up. Sometimes he prayed all night. We've talked about this the last couple of weeks. And so the importance of it is huge, yet a lot of times we don't talk about this communication with God, this prayer with spending time in communication with the heavenly Father. There's some scripture in Matthew chapter 6 that I want us to read. Matthew chapter 6, if you take a moment to find that, once you find it, stand to your feet if you're able to do so. We're going to read starting in verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, the words are in red. This is Jesus talking, and I want us to see some verses that will kind of set up this whole, this is what we're talking about. Here we go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 says, "Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Pray with me. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we can learn so much from you and from your word and from the direction that we get from it. I pray that today, as we talk about this, that God, your Holy Spirit would move in this place, move in those watching online, and draw people to surrender to you. I pray that today, God, Christians would get right with you. That if there are those watching that don't know you, that today they would accept your gift of salvation and leave this service knowing that they'll spend forever with you in heaven, knowing the price that you paid was for them. Bless us today, God, as we continue through this message. In your name we pray. Amen. As you're seated, I want you to kind of think about this. Jesus was constantly seeking his Father in prayer, whether it was in crazy times of life, whether there was high demands and people were trying to get his attention, he would point his attention to the Lord. He was in constant communication with his heavenly Father. And a lot of times we go through life and we are not as in constant communication as we could be or really should be. And so when I get you to think about this, I want you to understand that we're all in this, that we need to have this communication with the Heavenly Father. I mean, just any basic relationship, if you're going to have a relationship with somebody, you to communicate with them, talk to them, share things with them, then that relationship grows. So what makes us think we can go through our Christian lives and just read scripture and not spend time communicating with our Heavenly Father? When we see the ultimate example that was set, that in everything, in just a moment, I want to go through a list of things, times where Jesus prayed, he pointed his attention to his Heavenly Father. We see this example set, yet we face a struggle, we face a problem, and the first thing we do is, where are my keys? Where's my wallet? How can I handle this? What can I say to that person? How can I calm this situation down? And the first thing we see Jesus do is spend time in prayer with his Heavenly Father. Anytime, major or small event, he pointed his attention to the Lord. If we want what Jesus had, we have to pray like Jesus prayed. So if you stop and think about that, we want what Jesus what Jesus had, we got to pray like he prayed. That means in everything, we've got to communicate with our Heavenly Father. We've got to bring the things that we're struggling with. We've got to bring the things we're confused about. We got to bring the things that the decisions that we made and lay them at our Heavenly Father's feet and say, God, help me to see. Help me to be effective at following you. So why don't we do this? Why don't we communicate with God the way that Jesus did? I got three reasons why I think I've narrowed down why I think most people don't communicate with God the way that Jesus communicated with God. First one is that some of us lack focus. If you have the app, the blanks are on there. And the first one is that we lack focus. Sometimes we are distracted. I know for me, whether it's the phone or a noise in the room or something that, you know, a clicking of a clock in the room will distract me from having the communication that I need. The ADD prayers where we're sitting there trying to pray and then we're distracted by, well, what am I going to eat for breakfast? And then what did that person say? And what do I have to do at work today? And how is this? And so we have this lack of focus where our minds wander and we're trying to communicate with God, but our minds are wandering into how earthly we can fill these problems, how we can get past a certain situation. Sometimes maybe you're communicating with God and you get bored because you lack focus on him. I remember as a teenager falling asleep praying, and then I started thinking, well, I wonder if I just pray to fall asleep. And that's the wrong thing, all right? Let me just tell you, that's not the right thing. You want to communicate with God with a clear mind and a clear thought life. And when we start to lack focus, it's the devil trying to distract us any way he can to get us to think about anything other than communicating with our Heavenly Father. It's the second reason that I believe that we don't pray like Jesus prayed or pray as often is that we lack confidence. We lack confidence. We don't consider ourselves to be major prayer warriors. Maybe you've seen people. I remember seeing my grandfather and my grandmother praying hours. My grandfather would lay face down in the recliner, put his face on the bottom of the recliner and on his knees in his living room with noises all around, with grandkids jumping on his back. I was that one jumping on his back. It was like that, all right? I would jump on his back and try and distract him, and I'd pull his ear, and he would just be like, he would calmly grab me and put me and say, "Grandpa's praying," and he would put his face back down. And I remember just thinking, "Well, why are you praying for so long? Like I'm here and I want to do something. I want to play. I want to get a snack. I want to get ice cream." And he would just focus. I mean, hours of time. My grandma would then take us in the other room so that he had focus time. There are other times where I've seen other family members or loved ones praying, pointing attention to the Lord. Sometimes we look at people like this where we idolize as a prayer warrior. Man, they pray and things happen. And we think, well, I don't have that kind of confidence. And so when I pray, God does, maybe he doesn't hear the same as me. You know, I can't quote scripture in my prayer, or I don't say the right words a lot of times. And sometimes we put these mental blocks in, and it's a confidence issue. Sometimes we just don't really know how. We're lacking focus. We lack confidence. And then the last one is we lack faith. And this is a big one. A lack faith of believing that God's going to do something. When I ask, when I pour my heart out to him, I trust, I believe. I believe that he answers prayer. I believe that he can heal this person that I'm praying for. I believe that he can help me through this struggle that I've been dealing with for a long time. I believe that he can help me to overcome this. And when we get past this lack of confidence and this lack of focus and a lack of faith, and we just really, truly trust that God's going to answer my prayer, that I'm just surrendering it to him, and whatever his will is, that's what I want. Man, that's a place where God wants us to be. Yeah. Sometimes we get in this place where we lack faith because God answered in a different way than we liked. And I ever thought about this? We stop and you prayed for a marriage, and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, and then ended in divorce, and you go, man, but I prayed so hard for that. You ever prayed for somebody for healing, that God would heal someone? Like, please, God, do this, God, do this, God, do this. And then the person doesn't make it. You ever prayed for overcoming something, overcome some problem or some addiction, and you just can't get past that? It lands us in this place where we're lacking faith, going, well, I don't know if God really hears or God really understands what I'm saying. And so as we sit here today, I want you to think about this. When we give up our desire and say, God, I want your will to be done. I want to follow you. I want to give up and just surrender to what it is that you have for me. We understand that prayer is not just this wish list where we're throwing things at God and saying, God, I want you to do this and I want you to do this. My brother has a business with a bunch of vending machines, and I thought of this, that sometimes we view prayer as this vending machine where we're like, I'll put a quarter in and see if I can get the right candy bar out of it. If God wants to, he'll answer me. And it's not like that. When we stop and you think about prayer is not an action that you do. Listen, it's a way that you live. It's a heart matter. It's a way that we live. We're pointing our heart to Jesus and saying, God, whatever it is that you have for me, God, whatever your will is to be, let it be done. God, I'm dealing with this struggle. God, I have this problem. God, I've got these things going on in my life, but whatever your will is, I surrender it to you and I point my attention to you. I want to live the way that you want me to live. You see how it goes from just being a check off the box, an action that I do while I have to spend some time in prayer, to this is the way that I live. When you see Jesus over and over, every time you see Jesus in Scripture, he points his attention to the Father before he does anything, before he makes any decision. He's communicating with his Heavenly Father. He prioritized this communication. When we pray, we point our, we're giving God, we're saying, God, I give you everything. Jesus in Scripture. Listen, I'm going to give you a bunch of references. If you want to write them down, you can write them down to fact check me or follow back and look at it, but I'll go quick. Jesus at his baptism in Luke chapter 3 spent time praying before. In the morning before he was headed to Galilee in Mark chapter 1 verses 35 and 36, he prayed before. After he healed people, he prayed in Luke chapter 5 verse 16. All night before he chose his disciples in Luke chapter 6 verses 12 and 13, all night he prayed before he made this major decision. While speaking to Jewish leaders in Matthew chapter 11 verses 25 and 26, Father, before feeding the 5,000 in all of the Gospels, John chapter 6, Matthew 14, Mark 6, and Luke 9. Before he walked on water in Matthew 14, you catch what's going on here? Everything that you know about Jesus, when he did something, when he healed someone, when he made a major decision, he prayed, he communicated with his Heavenly Father. Before Peter called Jesus the Christ in Luke chapter 9, he prayed. At the transfiguration in Luke chapter 9, at the return of the 70 in Luke chapter 10, before teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11, he prayed. I mean, before raising Lazarus from the dead, John chapter 11, he prayed for the little children in Matthew 19. He asked the Father to glorify his name in John chapter 12. At the Lord's Supper, he prayed. When Satan asked him to sift Peter in Luke chapter 22, he prayed. He prayed for himself, for his disciples, and for all the believers before he headed to Gethsemane in John chapter 17, the first 26 verses of John. In Gethsemane, before his betrayal, he prayed three separate prayers. Right after being nailed to the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While he's dying on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Praying, communicating with his Heavenly Father. In his dying breath, Jesus prayed, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. A blessing on the bread before he ate with the others after his resurrection. He's resurrected. He blessed in Luke 24, verse 30. And he blessed the disciples before his ascension in Luke 24. Constant communication. If you get something out of message today, I want you to get this, that Jesus had constant communication with his Heavenly Father, and look at his life. Look at the example that he set, the way that he lived. We learn so much from Scripture. Yet a lot of times we overlook this fact that in everything, he pointed his attention to his Heavenly Father. He focused. He said, whatever your will is, God, I surrender it to you. I give it to you. I wonder if in our lives, guys, I wonder if in our church, in everything, we just said, God, I surrender it to you. Maybe there's some things that you've been holding on to as a believer, and you just need to point to Jesus. Say, God, I've been doing this my way, and I want to give it to you. I've been looking at prayer as an action, as not really just a way of life. I wonder if in everything we do, we prayed. I wonder if when we woke up, we just pointed our attention and prayed to him and said, God, I give you my day. I give you my decisions. I give you all of the small things. And it's not just before I stop and eat this lunch, but in everything, God, I want to honor you today. I want to lift you up. I want to give me an opportunity to show, introduce somebody to Jesus. And sometimes we go, man, I don't have time. I don't have time to spend a lot of time in prayer. I don't have time like your grandfather to put my face in the recliner. If I do that, and I'll be honest, if I do that, I will go to sleep. It's a comfortable position. But when you stop and you think about the power in this prayer, it's not just check a box and this is what I do, but you are communicating with the Heavenly Father who loves you and cares for you and wants to answer your prayer. It's impossible to go through life with the joy and the peace and the comfort that we need without communicating with our Heavenly Father. If you go from week to week and just come to church and the last time you prayed was last Sunday when we were all together, man, you're missing out. It's not an action, it's a way of life. And so I wonder if when we left today, we left with this desire to say, God, I want to follow you. I want this to be a part of who I am. I want to communicate with you like Jesus communicated with his Father. I want to tell you everything. I want to seek you in all my decisions. I want to just surrender it to you. Even if things aren't going the way that I want them to go, I want to give it to you. I wonder how our lives would look different. I wonder if our church would look different. I wonder if in each decision we surrendered it to him, how our lives would change. The relational stress, the financial pressure, the temptations that we're faced with, the complications of the complicated decisions that you go, I'm just going to try and handle it on my own. When you think about all of the different angles and all of the different things that we're hit with to be effective in this world, we've got to disconnect from the stuff that the devil throws at us and that the world throws at us. Disconnect from what doesn't last to connect to the one who does last. I wonder if you think about it, Jesus, this Jesus who loves you, cares for you, provided the eternal salvation that you can accept him as his Lord and Savior. And you see that he set the example of constant communication. Then I've got to disconnect from the stuff that's pulling me away from him, from helping me to not make the right decision, from changing my attitude and my actions and the words that are coming. I've got to disconnect from the stuff and connect to the one who I need to connect with. I'm going to tell you right now, if you get alone and you block out the noise and you focus in on Jesus and you say, God, I just want you to show me. I want you to help me to eliminate the distractions. Help me to put the phone aside, to put Instagram out of the picture and just focus on you, God. I wonder if our lives this week would be different. I wonder if you went into this difficult week and said, you know what? I'm going to surrender it all. I'm going to point my attention to you. I'm going to give it to you. You started praying as Jesus prayed. I believe that your circumstances would be different. I believe that you would see the power in prayer. When you surrender it to him, it becomes less about how the things turn out and more about who you're talking to. That it doesn't, all this doesn't matter. Even if I'm praying, and I want this to happen, and I want this to happen, and I want this to happen, and then I pray, God, I just surrender it to you, whatever, and then it doesn't happen the way I want it to happen, I'm okay with it because I've surrendered it to the one who is in complete control. The problem is we pull that control back. Well, God, you didn't answer it the way I wanted to last time, so I'm going to do it this time, and I'm going to do it different. And then we get from this communication to this barrier that forms because we're trying to do it on our own. And God said, hey, just point it, give it to me, surrender it. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I wonder if in everything we prayed about everything. If we wake up the moment we have an opportunity to give him our attention. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. So I wonder if you're thinking and you're struggling and you're worried and you're depressed and you've got anxiety and you've got all these things, if we just surrender and learn to surrender it every moment that it happens, every time we have a decision, every time that we're faced with something, we just pray about it. God, I give it to you. God, whatever your will is, I want your way to be done. We talk to God, we listen, and we just let him lead and let him guide us. Prayer is not an action that we do. It's a way that we live. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. I grew up with it, pray without ceasing in the King James Version. But in the NIV, it says pray continually. In the New Living Translation, it says never stop praying. In any of those versions, it says the same thing. Pray constantly. It's a way of life. It's not just something we do. It's a way of life. And so I wonder if today we left this service different, getting alone with God, talking to God, giving him our undivided attention, our focus, and saying, God, I know I want it to happen this way, but I want your will to be done, and I surrender it to you from the biggest thing to the smallest. It isn't just getting to do what we want, but it's aligning our will with what he wants. It's not just what I want, it's what he wants. And so if I surrender it, is it God, I give it to you. Right now, maybe there's times in service where we feel conviction, where we feel the Holy Spirit tugging on our heart and saying, hey, you've got this thing. Maybe earlier when we were talking about examining yourself and you found some things in your heart where you're going, I had that thought this week, or I did this week, or I treated this person this way this week. And we felt conviction. And it's in those moments where we surrender, where we can say, God, I feel that, and I'm sorry for allowing that to come into my life. I'm sorry that I answered that person that way. Help me, God. Guide me. God, help me to see your path. Give me direction. Knowing his direction. Following his direction. Seeking him in everything. Never stop praying. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked, what we asked of him. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you think about this prayer being a way of life, it's not just something that, well, the pastor said I should go and pray this week. No, it's a way of life. It's in everything. You don't have to bow your head and hold your hands like this to pray while you're driving. Please don't, all right? Some of you already do that, it seems. I'm just kidding. So wait a second, I'm a good driver. Pray in everything. When you think about this being a way of life and not just an action, but a way of life, I wonder if we focused and if we left here different and we said, God, in everything, I'm going to point my attention to you this week. I believe that you would see a difference in every situation, in every struggle, in every problem that you have going on. How do you know that? Well, because we see in scripture over and over where people who pointed to the Heavenly Father, where we see Jesus set the ultimate example of communicating with his Heavenly Father, even to the point while he's on the cross dying, he pointed and communicating with his Heavenly Father. It's a way of life. So Christians, we're missing something if we're not communicating with God in prayer, if you're not talking to him, if you're not telling him the things that you're struggling with, if you're not telling him the ways that you're having problems this week, the things that you want him to do, the opportunities that you have, we've got to point our attention to him. We can approach the God of this universe who loves us and cares for us. You say, well, oh, I don't have any major things. Guess what? He cares about everything. If it's on your heart, pour it out to him.